It's that the Lord says, He says, it's those who seek me diligently with their whole hearts who will find me. And it's those who truly want me, who truly want me to be first in their life, who will seek me with their whole hearts, says the Lord. He says this in human language. He says that he's tired of lip service and he's tired of those who don't truly want me. He said, if you would truly surrender your whole hearts and seek me diligently with your whole hearts to find me, you will find that you cannot fail. For I am love, says the Lord. And love cannot fail. And those who find me because they've taken the time and they've made the sacrifice to seek me with their whole hearts will have my love, for they will be transformed into who I am. Have I not said in my word, to be imitators of me as dearly loved children and live a life of love, a sacrificial life as my son gave his life for you so you could give your life for him, says the Lord. So be diligent in these matters and be not distracted by the many distractions that surround you. You may say in your hearts, how is this possible? If you believe me that you will have time, I will make time for you, says the Lord. For I am the way maker. And those who truly want me will seek me that they may have the time to clear their schedules and make sacrifices to find me. For there's much that needs to be changed in this hour. There's many things that I long to change in your nation and in your country. But you must seek me through prayer, for I've given you the authority. For you are seated in heavenly places with me from a positional standpoint in my Son. So your authority needs to be released into the earth so that I can move and do all those things that I long to do, says the Lord. Have I not warned that judgment is coming? Do I warn? When I warn, do I warn for your entertainment? Do I not warn that you may stand in the gap? Do I not warn that one may hear my voice and hearken to the voice of my spirit and stand up with their authority and stand the gap? For my eyes go to and fro throughout the whole earth looking for one who will stand the gap. And I've given you my spirit to make proper intercession for the saints according to my will. But you must yield and not neglect the gifts that I've given. For I've told you in my word to eagerly desire spiritual gifts. And it's those who eagerly desire them who will truly operate in them, says the Lord. He says this is, I think we said something like this similar before, but this is what he said. He says, there's many who try to influence me and force me to come down to their level to operate in the power and the anointing that they think I should operate as I walk with them. This is not how I work. I am not going to change. I am the Lord and I change not. For they must come up to my level. They must come up to my level of holiness. For I will not change my standards for any man or any person. But if you will rise up and recognize the level that you're walking in and humble yourselves, strip yourselves of pride, get down on your knees and seek me diligently so that you can be transformed into the image and likeness of my Son through the transformation process into holiness, then I will be able to move the way that you long to see me move. It's not me that needs to move. It is my children that need to move out of my way so that I can move. So put to death, therefore, what belongs to your earthly nature: sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. For those who live like this, I've said in my word, will not inherit my kingdom. For my kingdom is a kingdom of righteousness. My kingdom is a kingdom of joy, and my kingdom is a kingdom of peace, and my kingdom is also a kingdom of holiness, and without holiness, no one will see me. So be separate. Do not deceive yourselves to think that you're getting away with the subtle things that the enemy tricks you into yielding to. I will not be deceived. I will not be mocked. You will reap what you sow. My desire for you is that you reap a great harvest from sowing to my Spirit and not unto the flesh. But there must be sanctification. There must be separation so that you may be justified in my eyes and pure and holy and blameless, says the Lord. He said this. He said, so do not live in the form of deception that so many live in, believing that they can add me to their sin. I am light. In me there is no darkness at all. Those who have faith and trust in me purify themselves just as I am pure. And those who separate and yield to me will walk in fellowship with me, because the blood of my Son purifies them from all sin. Have I not said in my word that you must confess your sins? There's so many that harbor many sins in their life that they consider insignificant. But there is no small sin, for it's sin that separates you from the Lord your God. You have an obligation, but it's not according to the flesh to live after it. If you live after the flesh, you will die. But if by my Spirit you put to death the misdeeds of the body, you will live. For I've given you my new nature. You've become my children. Now be separate and yield to the operation of my Spirit and the transformation that takes place within. For it must take place within. He said, I've set you free, but you must believe that you're free. For I've said in my word, you have in the same spirit of faith, believe and therefore speak. You must believe and speak the freedom. Have I not said in my word that the redeemed must say so? Speak forth what you've been redeemed from. For the price has been paid by the blood. The ransom has been made. The earnest of your inheritance has been poured out upon you. But you must work that. You must work it within you by the power of my Spirit, not by your will power. For men's hearts always fail. But my Spirit will lift up a standard when the enemy comes in like a flood, says the Lord. You know, this is in a form of a revelation, so we're just going to give it like a revelation. How would you react if you were given $1 million, would you rejoice? Amen. One person would rejoice. The rest of you are going to sit there. I'm going to rejoice. Amen?
Amen.
Imagine the people we could reach with that. You see? If you had $1 million, you would rejoice like you had $1 million. Would you?
Yes.
Would you rejoice? Let's turn some light in so I can see you. But this is how God wants you to react. Even over the most insignificant prayers being answered, before you see it. And if you will do that, then you will see it come to pass. We've taught on this before. As long as you're sitting there wondering when God's going to do it, He's never going to do it because He already has. He's not going to do something He's already done. He's waiting for you to go where the answer is to receive the answer from God. He's already sent the answer the moment you prayed. He expects you from that moment on to rejoice like you won $1 million, and that is called faith. Amen. Faith does not waver. It does not question God no matter what. It says in James chapter 1, He says, if a man lacks wisdom, let him ask God. He gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given to him. But when he asks, let him believe and not doubt. Because he who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That man shall not think he receive anything from the Lord. So if you're one of those that question, wonder how God's going to do it, when He's going to do it, you might as well just write down, I will not receive anything from the Lord, and put it on your wall. You got to change that. We need to trust God. God is real. Do you believe God is real? If you believe God is real, do you believe His Word is true? If you believe God is real and you believe His Word is true, then no matter what He said and no matter how big the thing is that He placed in your heart to ask Him for, then you should never question Him if you believe Him. Amen? I am not Pastor Anthony. I'm Pastor Dan. Amen? I speak with a lot of conviction. He doesn't have to do that with you because you're not His flock. He wants you to invite Him back again. Amen? We're going to get to the root of the problem. The root of the problem why people cannot believe is because they don't have a personal relationship with Jesus outside of church. Can't say amen, say oh my. You need to first... If someone off the street walks up to you and says, I'm going to give you $1 million, what are you going to say? I don't believe you. Who are you? But if someone that you've spent years and years walking hand in hand with, up and down the Broadway, up and down the beach, in love with that person, you've spent time with that person, and that person says, I'm going to give you $1 million, you go, really? You will? That's how some of you would do it. Was that pretty good? That's called faith. Why do you have faith in that person's word? Because you know the person. Amen. It is impossible to trust someone's word until you know the person on an intimate level. Jesus said in John 17:3, He said, now this is eternal life. This is what it is, eternal life. He's about ready to tell you. What is eternal life, Pastor Dan? He says, to know you, the only true God and Jesus Christ whom you sent, to know them. How do we get to know God? Well, there's different keys. Some of you may have heard me preach on them. There's different channels. Some of the church world calls it works, but they're the same ones that say, well, maybe God will do it, maybe God won't. And they say things like the conference that Michelle was invited to, God might do it. He might. The Bible says all the promises of God in Him are yes and amen. He says He will do it. Amen. There is no might about God except for His mighty power. Amen. So the way we're going to get to the place where we can trust God, if you're believing with me, we come to Faith 50 Church, we're believing for revival in Milwaukee County. Amen. That's why there's so many people sitting in the chairs, because of the opposition. Because Satan's trying to cause failure, but He is the failure. I am more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. That's why we're still sitting here for almost 4 years now.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. We scared the first run of them out, and then I preached at the walls for a couple weeks until God brought some more. Doesn't make any difference. You see, because I've had a good mentor. Some of you may have heard of him. Amen? I listened to all of Brother Roberson's teachings, and he did the same thing. He said, who do you think the devil's scared of? The one who starts a church and overnight in a Walmart parking lot, it's full of 1,000 people, or the one who puts Revival Center on the wall and there's only 5 people that show up every week? Who do you think the devil's scared of? Who do you know why the people don't always come? Because they're not ready to do what it takes to get to heaven. There's much suffering. According to Revelation chapter 1, the end of Philippians 2, he said, the suffering that are ours in Christ Jesus, there is persecutions, there's problems, they are coming. I don't have to prophesy it to you. Just read 1 and 2 Thessalonians. He says, we kept telling you when we were with you, the persecutions were coming, and as you know, it happened just like we said, he says. Just like we said. So, this is the suffering endurance that are in Christ. Is it worth it? Yes, he says, it's hard for the righteous to be saved, but you know what? This is your time. This is your time when things are not perfect. Okay? This is your time when you go through a few things. But let me tell you something. In all eternity, he says he's going to wipe every tear from your eyes. All failure. You'll have no more weakness. There'll be no more crying, no more shame, no more weakness. You'll never be, he says there'll be no more sighing. No more sighing. Like when the end of the day where you're just so frustrated because 15 things happen and every 5 minutes of the whole day trying to beat you down. Jesus said in this world you're going to have trouble, tribulation. Pastor Dan, start talking about faith again. I'm scared. This is reality. We need to get to the root, so that we can produce the fruit of faith. And in order to deal with the root, it's a heart condition. And the heart condition is revealed when you leave the church and go home and what you choose to do. Do you spend that time with Jesus? Is He more important to you than the television? Is He more important to you than anything else in this life? And that you put Him first all day long. Is He? Because if He's not, I can tell you what the problem is. It's the heart. The Spirit of God, Pastor Robles talked a little bit about the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God deals with the heart. The Spirit of man is the place where all permanent change takes place. I can preach faith week after week after week. I can get you into a temporary attitude of faith where you may be able to believe some things for God. But if we go back to another subject, your faith will wane. It will go way back down here, and then you're going to wonder what happened to you. But if we deal with the root, and that's what I typically preach on is the root problem, which is we need to first of all separate from the world. I don't know why all these things, these unnecessary problems and these weird things keep happening to me. Is there sin in your life is the first thing God would ask you. If there is, or if you're not separate from the world, then you're a victim of your own demise. You're causing yourself extra grief. Some people drive themselves crazy, just want to commit suicide over it because they can't understand why all these things are happening when God's pointing over here at His Word and saying, you've got to be holy. Amen. You've got to separate from the world. Once you've made the decision to separate from the world and then lift up your hands and start to worship and praise the one who will hear you, the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, the eyes of the Lord are against those who do evil. See? It says the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, His ears are attentive to their prayer, the face of the Lord is against those who do evil. 1 Peter 3:12. So He turns His back on it. You got to understand, it's not because He's some angry God. He's pure. He's like a little child. God is absolutely pure. He's pure and holy. He doesn't want to be tainted by anything to do with that. If you get into an argument, God leaves the room. He won't look at that. His eyes are too pure to look on evil, it says in Habakkuk 1:13. He cannot tolerate wrongdoing, it says. His eyes are too pure to look on evil. It's not that He doesn't want to help you, but He can't look upon it. And as soon as you're done, He comes back in and tries to restore, tries to bring harmony, so we walk in agreement with each other and in unity with each other again. So we want to be pure in His eyes that way. If we want to have faith, we need to go to get to know the one who faith comes from. How do we do that, Pastor Dan? Well, it's what we do in our personal life. Amen. We can tell how many people are serious about prayer when we have a, a 6:30 Wednesday prayer meeting, and everybody knows we pray for an hour. How many people show up, or they show up right for the preaching? What is that? What is that that's stopping you? You said, well, this, that, and the other happened. What it really was is you are too spiritually weak to get here. That's what it really is. If you'll allow me to tell you what the truth is. That's what it is. Because the presence of God is in here, and you're trying to get to the presence of God, but you're not strong enough to get past the opposition that it takes to get into His presence, so you don't come at 6:30 for prayer. That's why you don't come. You get mad at me, but these are the facts, and you know that it's true. How do I get strong enough to get there on time? It's what you do all the rest of the week at home. If you spend your time praying in tongues while you're on Facebook looking at gossip, or you spend your time praying in tongues while your unbelieving friends call you and you talk to them for a half an hour and distract you from prayer, do you think that that is... You know, he says, light cannot walk with darkness. You're tainting yourself. Amen. Why do you speak with so much conviction? It's the Holy Spirit who's been sent to convict the world of sin, righteousness, and judgment. That's the Holy Spirit's main job, is to convict us so we grow. There's no conviction, there's no growth. If it's only excitement all the time, you will not barely grow at all. It's not going to work. No, believe me, I've seen... churches that revolve around a high level, an attitude of faith. But if you were to do a survey, how many people get their prayers answered, you'll see 1 out of 8,000 jump up every week who's got a huge testimony, but the other 7,999 sit around wondering how in the world do they make that happen. Why is that? Because they're moved by their sense realm. It's all excitement preached from behind the pulpit to keep them excited, keep them coming back. But they don't realize that every week they keep coming back and it's things that they're preaching aren't coming to pass in their life. Why is that? I can tell you why. You're not dealing with the root. Amen? We've got to deal with the root. The root is a heart condition. The heart condition is dealt with in God's presence. Okay? And His Word. The Word and the Spirit agree. Pastor Robles, he mentioned the scripture a few times, John 6:63. Jesus said, it is the Spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you, they are spirit and they are life. So there's God's Word, according to Luke 8:11, is a seed, and there's life within that seed. And if it's planted in your heart, if you don't uproot it and keep it in there, it will produce a harvest. Amen? Jesus said, first the stalk, then the ear, then the full kernel in the ear. We want a harvest. Amen? Now, most of the time people talk harvest, they're talking finances. But that's not God's main agenda. What did Jesus say? I come to seek and just provide for people. He said, I came to seek and save that which was lost. Souls. If you will seek first His kingdom and His righteousness through fasting, praying, and giving like He told you to. Everybody likes to say, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Well, how do you do that? And they don't know. Well, He told you in the chapter exactly how to do it. Fasting, praying, and giving. He said, He didn't say, if you fast. Well, Pastor so-and-so said we don't have to fast. Don't listen to Pastor so-and-so. Okay, the Bible says, Jesus said, He said, the bridegroom is with them now. In those days, the bridegroom will be taken from them. In those days, they will fast. And He said, when you fast, He said, you will fast. He didn't say if anywhere. Jesus didn't have a whole lot of ifs there, did He? Oh, I didn't hear any. He wants us to fast, and the main reason the body of Christ is in the condition that it's in today is because they don't fast. They're not dealing with the flesh. Isaiah 58 is your chapter. He says, hide not yourself from your own flesh. As long as you're not willing to do the fasting, what you're doing is you're hiding from the root. You're not dealing with you're not enforcing the positional truth that your body's been declared according to Romans 8:10, which is dead. Everyone say, I'm dead. But you're alive. How can that be? From a positional standpoint, what he's saying in Romans chapter 8 is your body no longer has the ability to dominate over a born-again Christian. It cannot. We say it does. It makes me smoke. It makes me drink. It makes me lust after every man and every woman that comes past me, Pastor Dan. Why is that? I can tell you why. You're not enforcing the position of death. Well, how do I forcefully enforce the position of death so that my flesh no longer dominates over me? you stop feeding it. Stop giving it coffee, too. Ooh, that's a big one. That's why Satan has made coffee into a whole culture, because he knows that it stirs up the flesh and it makes people up and down, up and down. You cannot have an attitude of faith when you're up and down. You got to be steadfast, steady. These are the facts. Fasting deals with the flesh. It does work. It's very powerful. Did Jesus fast? He fasted 40 days. Didn't he? Paul said, I fasted often. You know, it says in Acts 13, it says there are prophets and teachers that names them. Two of them you may recognize as Barnabas and Saul, Paul. It says, then they fasted and prayed, the Holy Spirit said. Let me say that again. This is extremely important. It's the first five verses in Acts 13. He says, when they fasted and prayed, the Holy Spirit said. In Isaiah 58, he said, when you fast, is it not so your voice will be heard on high? Well, let me tell you something. In the new covenant, since we're born again, if you will fast and you will do it diligently, you'll be able to hear his voice on low. You'll hear him in a whisper. You'll hear him in a whisper. Because your spirit man is able to finally get loose. Ooh, I'm free. I'm free. I'm free. All this flesh isn't pushing down on me. And all this confusion has lost my mind. My goodness, I think I can actually hear God. And sure enough, God speaks. And he says, you need to deal with that smoking. What's that, God? And you go back to the refrigerator and say, I'm hungry. I don't like this fasting thing because I feel all this conviction when I start to fast. Why is that? Because your spirit's rising up above your flesh. You begin to see things through God's eyes. You're looking down at who you really are and where you're really walking. That, again, is why most Christians don't fast very often. Because when you do, you go on a 2-3-day fast, I guarantee you that God's going to start showing you. You're going to look and go, what's wrong with me? What's happened to me? No. You were that way the whole time. Just ask everybody. Just ask everybody around you. You mean I'm really that way, Pastor Dan? Well, God revealed it to you for a reason. It's not to pick on you. It's because when you're fasting, you're strong enough finally to make a decision. And if you make the right decision, you can deal with it and put that misdeed of the flesh to death once and forever, so that its death resounds through all eternity and all heaven and hell hears it. Amen? Fasting is an incredibly powerful supercharger to prayer. If you're struggling, especially things like sexual perversion, smoking, drinking, those types of things of the flesh, fasting will extremely help you. I've heard of people who are dealing with sexual perversions on the level of homosexuality and nothing worked. They wanted to be free. This is a person that realized that Satan had done this to them. Every those of you listening online, I myself was molested. This is Pastor Dan at Faith 50 Church. I was molested too, because I know that every homosexual that I've talked to who would open up their hearts and tell me what's really going on, they were molested as children. I mean, you know what? I had a conversation with Pastor Robles. He said the exact same thing, and he's dealt with many of them because of confusion. Someone did that to them. And if they can realize that it was the devil that did that to them, and they can realize it was a process and he was trying to destroy them, and they're willing, their heart's open and willing to see the light, God can set them free. They were not born that way. Nobody was ever born that way. God did not create people that way. Amen. Nobody's born into this earth that way. You can get free. Amen? We do not, Christians, real Christians, do not hate homosexuals. We don't hate them. It's not any different than a drunk. It's a sin. It's a sin. It's wrong in the eyes of God. Morally, it is wrong. It's not helping society to grow. It's not a positive thing. It's something we're going to have to deal with as a church. But the doors are open. See? The doors are open and they can come in. And if they would like help, if they would like to receive Jesus and get free, we can help them get free. Yes. We do not hate them. Amen. I've seen some false churches out there, this was years ago, running around at signs that said blasphemous things. That's not a church of God. That's if Jesus said they're false people. They're false teachers and false churches out there, just like there's true ones.
Amen.
We don't hate anybody. We don't discriminate according to nationality, race, age, creed, any of that. It doesn't make any difference. God doesn't even look on the outward appearance. He looks upon the heart. And if someone comes genuinely and wants to get free, they can get free. So we want to deal with our hearts. And the way we do that is we get into God's presence. And Jesus said this, "Them that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth," John 4:24. That's a positional standpoint. We like to think that's praying in tongues, that's part of it. It's a positional standpoint, just like the body is dead according to Romans 8:10. He says, "But the spirit is life," that's Zoe. That's not alive. People in hell are alive. You understand that they're alive. They're very alive. Just read Luke chapter 16. He had his feelings. He had his sight. He could hear. He could talk. He had emotions. He had love. He had love and health. Sure, he cared more about his family than most Christians do because he wanted them to not go to hell. Ouch. Stop, Pastor Dan. Offering bucket is right there. You can put your addresses of your family. I will personally send them a letter. Without anybody's name on it, it'll be indiscreet. They'll have a choice to make. It will never be traced back to you. If I were you and my pastor said that, I would find on the internet my family tree and I would go all the way back to the 7th and 8th cousins. I would find every single person married into the family and not, even if it was 1,000 people, and I would say, "Here's the list. You said you're going to do this for me." I would do it. I'll do it for you. We'll even pay for the stamps if you're too cheap to give stamps. We'll do that for you. We've done it. Some people have given stamps, and we applaud you for your generosity. Amen. We don't want to be stingy as Christians. Amen. Some of you guys were doing good for our guest speaker. Giving, we applaud you for that. That's good that we're acting our faith. We're supposed to be generous. The Bible says God so loved that He gave. He gave. If you love God and you're born again, it should be natural out of that new nature to be a generous person. The church, tithes and offerings, people around you, when they come to you in need. Amen. It's why He said we should work so we can have some work with our hands doing something useful so we can have something to share with those in need, right? You say, "Well, I work, Pastor Dan, but I'm broke." Are you consistent in your giving? Here I am again. Are you consistent in your giving? Because He says in Proverbs 11:24, you know that He says a stinginess, He said it leads to poverty. He said, "But there's one who gives freely and gains even more." What is it? That's like He said, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will reap generously. Each one should give whatever he's set in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. In other words, God doesn't want to have the preacher spend time preaching you into an attitude where you finally want to give. And this is where most Christians give. If the pastor preaches a message and it's on faith or healing or something and it inspires them, they go, "Glory to God, Pastor, that was a great message," and whop, into the bucket the money goes. But when he preaches the convicting stuff, the stuff that's going to deal with the flesh, sometimes your flesh gets mad and says, "No." He's beating you down. Paul said, "We're not beating you down." He said, "This authority has been given to us to build you up." He said, "Jesus is not weak when dealing with you." He said, "He's strong among you." He said, "He deals very strongly with us." He said, "Those whom I love are rebuke and discipline." So He loves you. He loves us. Amen. So if we'll start to make the decision to stay separate from the things of the world and become true disciples, this is what we're attempting to make here. We want to make real disciples. We don't want converts up in here. There's other churches down there that are playing games with God. I will have nothing to do with it. We're making a group of disciples here that are going to pray. Why are we going to pray? Because we're going to fulfill each individual in this room. God has a special call on your individual life that no one else can do just like you. Nobody can do that. Nobody has been through the exact same amount of circumstances and things that you've been through. Nobody has your history. There are people that God can bring in your path that I couldn't even reach possibly. Amen. Even with all the knowledge of the Word, because there's certain things you've been through that I haven't. It's probably few and far between. I've been through a lot. I've been through a lot of things, okay? But I have found that God brings people in my path who have similar histories. You say, well, that happens to me all the time. Well, then God's doing that. He's doing that. He's trying to use you. You see? I just don't know what it is, Pastor. And if God brings these people, come in my, they're my same age group and they have the same sin that I used to be caught up in. What should I do? You're to say, look, I know somebody. I've been through this too. I know somebody who can set you free, and he set me free now. See? And if you are free, they can sense that freedom in you. They'll recognize there's something different. And then we can minister to them more properly. Jesus said, if you get the plank out of your own eye, you'll see clearly to get the speck out of your brother's eye. We're not as a judge. Jesus said, you are to judge, but you've got to get the plank out of your eye first to be able to make a correct judgment by the love of God, not because you're trying to just criticize and beat people down. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah, Jesus. So we want to press into God. We want to gain faith through, when we're at home, we want to spend much time in prayer. Amen? He's given us the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You can pray in the Spirit in tongues. That's what we're taught when we say praying in the Spirit. You can pray in the Spirit as much as you want. As long as you want, just because you want to. Just because in my new nature, this born-again righteous spirit that He's placed within me, I'm so hungry. There's something in me that's so hungry that just has to, I crave knowledge of God. I cannot seem to put my Bible down. I just have to know about this person who loves me so much that He'd die for me. There's something that I've got to know about Him every day. I've got to learn more. It's not enough for me to read 10 chapters. I've got to read 10 out of the Old Testament to them. It's not enough for me to pray in tongues while I go about my business. I've just got to find a way to get alone with this God who sent His Son to die for me. Will somebody just leave me alone so I can please talk to this Creator of mine? Amen? And if you will yield to those promptings and start to do that, God will start to reveal who He truly is to you. And you'll see that He's not just a bunch of set of rules. Those rules are all to protect you so that you don't lose out on all the blessings that God has for you. All of them. Do you think God wants to bless? Think about heaven for a minute. Their streets are made of gold. God's in heaven. God doesn't want that here on the earth. He wants us to be poor and humble. He said, pray that God's will be done upon the earth as it is in heaven. Yeah, but it's sin to live in abundance. Paul said, I know what it is to have much. I know what it is to live in abundance. I know what it is to have little, he said. He said, I'm amply supplied. You see? God doesn't mind you living like that, but you know that God gives it to people. God gives it to people. Now, there's a way to get it just from working hard. You know that? But God gives it to those who are going to use it for God's glory. He said, the Bible says, we are not our own. We've been bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body and in regard to sexual immorality and so forth. But we have been bought with a price. We belong to Him. We belong to Jesus. You are not your own. You've been bought with a price. He said, we no longer live for ourselves, but for Him who died for us and rose again. So we don't do our own desires. Forget about it. It's over with the moment we bow our knee to Jesus. A lot of people in the congregations want the pastor to tell them is that they're okay watching the television. They're okay doing all this. They're okay yielding to Satan's indoctrination process so he can destroy them. But I'm not going to tell you that because I know how he works. Just look at the condition of the culture and how much has changed since television has been around. How did that happen? Why are people all thinking the same way? Why is that? They've been indoctrinated by the same God, little g. They've been indoctrinated. It was a process, and Satan knew that the God, when he goes after humanity to save them, he does it through information. So a preacher, send the preacher, he said. He said, how can they hear unless a preacher is sent? How can they call on the one they've not believed? He said, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring glad tidings or good news. The good news is not just salvation, but also healing, prosperity, preservation, peace. Somebody's been having a headache. Who is that? Hallelujah, Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, we command it to leave her right now. We command the symptoms to leave right now in the name of Jesus. They cannot say, there it is, just receive it. It's a strong anointing. Anybody else, we bind the enemy. Anybody else that's been having headaches? Really? You do? I mean, climb the chairs. Can I climb the chairs? Father, in the name of Jesus, we command the headaches to leave her and not return. Man, everything will line up according to God's word right now. Right now, in Jesus' name, we command all the symptoms to leave her, every evil spirit causing it. We break the power of the root. Jesus, we just thank you for touching her now. We think it stops today. Stops today. Have you really been having headaches? Does he know what a headache is? I believe him. It's not the first time the Lord told me he has them. Did you get to eat dinner last night?
Yes.
Father, in the name of Jesus, we command everything to leave him that's causing these symptoms. Command everything to line up according to God's word right now and be healed. And we just thank you, Lord, that you love us so much. You bore our sickness and carried our pains. We praise you and exalt you. We praise you and exalt you, Jesus. We praise you and exalt you, Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. So we want to get to know him. Because that's where true faith, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But in context, if you'll allow me to destroy everyone's theology, including most of your best Bible teachers, read that scripture in context. He says, did they not hear? Did they not hear? But they didn't believe. So faith comes by hearing when you yield and allow it to penetrate your heart.
Yes.
It doesn't just come from hearing. How many people have you preached to that didn't have any faith?
Amen.
He says, the Bible says not everyone has faith, but every believer has been dealt the measure of faith. Measure is part of a whole. One third, two thirds, three thirds together makes a whole. You've been dealt a measure. I've been dealt a measure. All of them working together, if we will all water those seeds that we've been dealt, the seed of the Word of God. He said, you've been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable through the living and enduring Word of God, 1 Peter 1:23. That seed gets in your heart. If you'll water that seed by the rivers of living water, praying in the Holy Ghost, and work your measure, that seed will produce a harvest of you fulfilling your call that God has called you to do as an individual. And if we all fulfill our measure and our call, then we will come together as a whole. You know? It's a funny thing, you know, you got one third, but you got 1/64, and 1/64, I get a smaller piece of the pie. Figure that out. Amen? We all put a many measures in the body of Christ. You play a measure. You have a seed. If you're born again, you've got this imperishable seed of the Word of God living in your heart. That's in 1 Peter 1:23. Now, seed. If you've been born again by an imperishable seed, do seeds need to be nurtured? Now, we'll bring them into here. Okay. I had a spider plant. My mom's been growing these spider plants. You know what they look like? They're kind of a draping. They don't look like spiders, actually. But it's just because they drape down. And I get in a habit of neglecting plants. Too busy for some reason, I just let it go and let it go, and the thing looked like it was dead. I said, I finally looked at it. I think God does this to me. I look at it, I said, no, you will not die. You will live and not die. And then I start using my faith on the plant. I started watering the plant. My mom says, well, why don't you give it some sunlight? It'll grow. So I take it and give it some sunlight, and it grows, and it came back to life. Because why? You started to nurture the seed. The harvest has come. Life. Because there's water. There's a proper nourishment. I believe she dug it up and put Miracle Grow. It got fertilizer. Did you do that? There's another seed I don't know where they got this. I'm just throwing this out there because I've seen it. There's a little, I think they did this to show James maybe. It's a little tiny pot with dirt in it, and there's a seed in there. There's some kind of plant in there. Do you know what it is? It's a pepper. There's a pepper. Now that thing, they started out good. They started to water it. The soil was moist. Everything looked good. But then I looked at it a couple weeks later, and for some reason they forgot about the thing, possibly because it's so tiny you can barely see the thing. What happened to that? Well, it killed it. Now, I don't doubt, because they take dried up old seeds out of Egyptian tombs that have been sitting there for 2,000 years and pull them out and plant them, and they grow. I don't doubt that there's a way to bring life back into that little seed. Figure out where you are, because we're talking about you now. Well, Pastor Dan, I'm just a big failure. I backslide every other day. Yeah? I know of one preacher who said that he backslid 100 times before he finally got it right. 100 times. God's gifts and His call are irrevocable. It doesn't give us an excuse to keep on backsliding. You're in great danger. According to Hebrews 6, he said it's dangerous to do that. But if you're not entangled by the world, like Peter said, and overcome, and worse off at the end than you were at the beginning, if you keep overcoming, then God's going to do something with you. Yeah, but you look at all. It wasn't just Peter that failed. Do you know that it says they all fell away? Peter was just the one that boasted so big. They all fell away. He said, "You will all fall away on account of me, as it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered." He said, "But after I've risen," in other words, "I'll forgive you afterward I've risen." He said, "I'm going to go ahead and you in a galley. Just go and meet me there." He said, "I know you're spiritual little flesh creatures now. You can't even pray. When I tell you to pray, you fall asleep." But he said, once I get you born again, once you're converted," he told Peter, he said, "strengthen your brothers." So get it straight. Amen. He loves you. He wants to use you. I got all these character flaws, Pastor Dan. I know. We all do. You see, some are stronger than others. And if you'll start to deal with them, and you'll start to deal with the root of them, God will, one at a time, He'll pluck out those weeds.
Amen.
You say, "Pastor Dan, if you were to look at me from a plant standpoint, I don't think there's anything but weeds there." That's what the Holy Ghost does. He says He helps us with our infirmities. If we don't know what to pray for as He ought, but the Spirit Himself makes intercession for us with groanings. That's tongues. One translation says groanings, not in articulate speech. In other words, your known language. Groanings which words cannot express. It says that He that searches our hearts. God doesn't search His own heart. He searches our heart. Why would God have to do that? He's God. He that searches our hearts knows what is the mind. It's very interesting wording here. Knows what is the mind of the Spirit. Because the Spirit makes intercession for the saints in accordance to God's will. That word mind is plan. That's what it really is. He's referring to God's plan for you as an individual. And says, according to God's will, that's God's overall will for all humanity. And then His purpose, He says, we know God works all things together for the good of those who've been called according to His purpose. What's His purpose? The culmination of all things, restoration back to the Garden of Eden. So what he's saying, look, likewise the Spirit helpeth that sun anti lambano mahi, he takes hold together against those infirmities, those are weaknesses imposed on us because of the limitations of the flesh. He takes hold, the Holy Spirit takes hold of that with your new nature. He says, likewise also the Spirit helps. Also helps what? Helps you who have the new nature, who've been born again. He helps you to remove those infirmities, those weaknesses imposed on you by the limitations, because you're in this flesh body that doesn't want to witness to people. It doesn't want to pray. It doesn't want to obey God. It wants to sit around in luxury with Denali's, Armanas. What's it called? Is that what it is? Armana, you got to have a big fancy car and a big fancy house, and God's saying, no, no, no. Jesus said, sell your possessions and give to the poor. You're thinking, I don't want to do that. Why is that? Weaknesses of the flesh.
Amen.
What is it that changes a man so he can get to the place where he doesn't even care about material things anymore, but only cares about lost souls? What is it that does that to a person? I can tell you what it is. It's the Holy Spirit. Amen. It's not man that does that. It's the Holy Spirit. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us with our inability to produce results. That's righteous acts. That's holy living. That's obeying God's word. That's praying, that's fasting, that's giving your tithes, that's being consistent, that's having a spirit of excellence, that's witnessing to everybody around you when you have an opportunity. He helps us with our inability to produce those righteous acts. Because he searches, it says he makes intercession for the saints, he searches our hearts. In other words, that seed is an individual seed. That word that hits your heart when Jesus is Lord, you just confess Him as Lord. It gets in your spirit. That is an individual seed. You are an individual in the body of Christ. That's what He makes it very clear. We're all different members. We don't all have the same calling. Not exactly. And even if you have two pastors, you'll see they don't always flow the same. We're all individuals and God works through that. So He searches our hearts. In other words, God looks in that, the Holy Ghost looks in that seed and he begins to pray God's mind or the plan of God for you as an individual and work that seed, nourish that seed, and bring it to harvest so that you can see it, because you don't see it growing underneath the surface, do you? It's not until it comes above the soil that you begin, even then you can barely tell. You kind of, I don't know if it's a bean seed or a corn stalk. What is that thing? But if you keep praying, that's how it starts. I can remember having kind of a witness inside, maybe. What does God want me to do? And your mind tries to reason it and say, no. And you back off. You keep praying, the Holy Spirit brings it back and its thing starts to wiggle. Have you ever seen some of those plants? It looks like they go up and down a few times before they actually, you ever see that video? When they speed it up, those things come up and it looks like they go down and you're thinking, what is that thing going back under the ground? That's kind of how it happens. You start to see it. And you kind of wonder about it and you allow yourself to talk yourself out of it. But if you keep praying in tongues and keep seeking God with your whole heart, I'm telling you, the harvest Jesus promised you will come. First the stalk, then the ear, then the full kernel in the ear. That harvest will come and you will know what God has called you to do. Well, how will I know? You'll know. The spirit of man is a part of man which knows. Well, I want God to talk to me in an audible voice. He's not going to do that, typically. Not how He typically talks. He says that His children are led by the Spirit. He says the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And that same place that He bears witness to you that you know that you're born again is the same place that He'll bear witness to know that you're called to be an apostle, called to be a prophet, called to be an evangelist, called to be a pastor, called to be a teacher, helps, governments. And it begins at the eighth operation of God, according to 1 Corinthians 12, 27, 28, diversities of tongues. You mean that's an operation? It's an operation, diversities of tongues. And if you don't operate in the eighth operation, you won't build yourself up through the other seven to get to where God's called you to be, wherever you fall in there. That's why Satan fights tongues so hard. Amen. So what are we going to do, Pastor Dan? We're going to work that measure, that seed. If you're born again, are you born again today? Amen. Do you love Jesus? Are you, you've turned from sin, you're living for Him. Okay? Well, if that's so, then that seed is in you. Well, I don't know what it is. I don't know what it is either. That's your vineyard. But I'm giving you the key that if you'll start to pray in tongues and be consistent, and you'll keep praying in tongues, then God will work that measure. And He that searches our hearts knows what is a mind. He knows what your individual call is for your personal life. Because He makes intercessions for the saints in accordance to the will of God. That's God's will for your individual life, your job, your workplace, West Dallas, Milwaukee County, United States, for the world. You fit in there. It's His will. And then His overall purpose is you fulfilling that call so we can get to His overall purpose, which is a culmination of all things. When we get a new heavens, a new earth, you get your glorified body. We go on into glory back like it was in the Garden of Eden before sin was. Everything's perfect, sinless, holy, joy, happiness, peace forever. That's the culmination of all things. That's what God's working towards. You realize he's going to restore. That's what the purpose of the millennium, the thousand-year reign, is. Put down death. And he's going to finally show the devil that people are going to obey him for an entire 1,000 years. You realize that Adam died at 900 and some years? Nobody's ever lived a 1,000-year day. Nobody's ever done it. He said, day to the Lord is 1,000 years, 1,000 years like a day. He's coming back around. He's cycling it around. And what happens at the end of the 1,000-year reign? He's going to do what Adam should have did in the first place, which is say, get out! And fire's going to come down from heaven and devour them all. And the devil's going to be thrown into the lake of burning sulfur where the beast and false prophet have been thrown into. And he's never going to get out. And we're never going to have to think about him again. Except when we go look on him. You know what it says at the end of Isaiah? It says we're going to continually, it's going to be a commandment of God. We're all going to go look upon the dead, it says. And they're going to be detestable to all mankind to remind us never to rebel against God. You're going to have to look in there and look at those people. You're going to go, I ain't ever rebelling against God again. I don't want to look at that. Let's read the 7 Columbia Youth Testimony, some of the vile things. Amen? Everybody come forward. Did I scare you or did I teach you? Both? That I'm doing my job. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We worship you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We glorify you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. There's many gifts, there's many callings that God's placed in His body. And in order for us to properly be equipped to fulfill what God's called us to do, we seek Him for the gifts, He said. He said, we're supposed to earnestly covet them, is the words He used in the King James Version. Diligently seek, it says in the NIV 1984. So we want to diligently seek Him to be equipped for what God's called us to do. We know that personal prophecies were not to be led by prophets in the New Testament, and we understand that. But if someone speaks something over you that speaks to your heart, and you feel like that's me, then like he said to Timothy, he said, in keeping with the prophecies once spoken over you. Amen? We want to keep with that. That's in, I believe it's 1 Timothy chapter 1 or 2 Timothy chapter 1. He talks about the gifts, the prophecies spoken over him. He talks about it right in the beginning of the chapter. Hallelujah, Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus. Now the Lord showed me that, and I believe Pastor Robles spoke over you, the Lord showed me that He wants to use both of you in healing. And He wants to use your hands. He wants to use your words. Jesus spoke words many times. And he told people to go, and if they believed, they would be healed. So it's not only through the laying on of hands. He says, we shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. That's the anointing of the believer. But there's also different offices that He separates to that He wants to use. And there's different gifts of the Spirit. Any believer can lay hands and heal, but that's different than the gifts of healings. The gifts of healings you typically see operate in pastors and evangelists and all the other, you know, the pulpit ministries. But God wants to use both of you. He showed me this. I seen it with my eyes closed. I seen it last night. I seen myself from the back of the room. I seen this. And now that I think about it, I didn't do this, but you were standing right there and you were standing right there. You see, I seen it from, I was looking this way. I saw myself standing here doing this. Know what He wants. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just thank You for ministering to them now by Your Spirit and speaking to their hearts. Hallelujah, Jesus. He said, through the laying on of hands, there can be a transference of gifts. And it's those who yield to me in those gifts, they will flow. The calling of God is not given to everyone, but it's those who seek me who will know. If you will yield and operate and seek me with all your hearts to heal, and if you will walk with me, there are many people who are in pain who will feel my comfort. And they will recognize that my hand is on you and my Spirit is in you. So trust me and walk with me and be confident to know that you are kings and priests of the Most High God. For I will never leave you, and I will never let you down. For I work with those who are called of me to confirm my word with the signs that accompany it. Trust not in your own anointing. Trust not in your own ability, but trust in my Spirit, for my Spirit never fails, says the Lord. Father, I just pray you'd put a fire in their hands and in their hearts to reach out to those who are hurting, whether it be physical, mental, emotional, whatever it is, Father, I pray that you would bring the people in their path that you've predestined for them to lay hands on and to speak words of faith and encouragement into their lives to give them hope. Father, there's many who are broken, but you've said that the Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on upon us. It's upon us, Lord, that we can set the captives free and we can heal the brokenhearted. And Father, we just thank you for your anointing resting upon them and using them for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's receive it. Hallelujah. I want to encourage everyone to be here. He's got something he wants to say yet. He said this, and this is in the scripture. Just give it however he wants to give it. He said, there's many members but one body. And each of us, we all have different functions within the body, but we work together as a unit. When one part rejoices, we're all to rejoice with it. When one part suffers, we're all to grieve with it. You understand that? So we want to be happy when God's working in one individual's life, because if you will stay in an attitude of faith, He also will do things in you. Hallelujah, Jesus. He just said, trust in my word is truth. I cannot lie, I will not lie, I would never lie to you. So know that if you will trust me like a little child and enter into my kingdom, that you will see me bring to pass all of the desires that I've placed within you. For it's those who walk with me whose desires will come from my throne. Know that you're walking. You're not on your own. You're walking with me. You're not alone. And as you draw closer and closer to me, you will begin to get a glimpse and recognize the anointing and the power that comes from my throne. So be free in my spirit and pray out the plan. Take firm grasp of me. And never let go of my hand, for I will sustain you. Though the righteous stumble 7 times, they will not fail. It's my children who stay close to me by my Spirit who will always prevail, says the Lord. Hallelujah.